It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Nice to have you with us again on the sunny Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Yesterday, we were hoping for sunshine because it was going to be a little warmer. We never got it. Today, we've got sunshine, but it's a fooler. It's pretty cold out there today. A little bit of a wind blowing, and, last day of February. Hey, we're going to be talking a little bit later on the program today with some Slippery Rock University students who are recently back from a trip to Peru. And I think they were down there with some students from Harvard. So we'll find out what that was all about, or some sort of a medical mission trip. So we'll talk with those students a little bit later on the program today. But first of all, we welcome guests from Carn City High School today, where they are soon to raise the curtain on their spring musical. Beth Ackleson is here, a faculty member at Carn City, and also the director of the musicals for, lo, these many years, Beth.
Many years, yes. Yeah. It's good to be here, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. And we have two students here who are both cast members of the upcoming show. Let's say hello to Braden Stuchel. Braden, nice to have you here.
Oh, very good to be here, Dave.
And also Hannah Bossinger. Hannah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So, Beth, what's the show? What are the Carn City students doing this spring?
We're doing a show called Crazy for You, and we're having a good time working on it. The show is full of Gershwin music, which I know you know Gershwin music. Mm-hmm. Actually, every song in it is written by George and Ira, and it's very witty, funny script, and lots of big, bright production numbers. So we're having a good time working on it.
Is this a newer show? I mean, compared to something like, you know, Flower Drum Song or Sound of Music or something like that?
I'm not sure the exact year that it came out, but yes, I would say it's on the newer side. I mean, compared to like the old Rodgers and Hammerstein things and like that. Mm-hmm. I a friend of mine from Knock actually starred in the original Broadway company, and I should remember when it came out. I don't, but Michelle Pach played one of the leads in the Broadway production, and to me, that seems like not that long ago, but I might not have that great of a memory.
Time does fly. Michelle was on the program with us back shortly after that Broadway performance.
Right.
It was her performance, by the way, was critically acclaimed.
Yes.
Yeah, she did a very, very good job.
Right.
And then moved on to other stuff on Broadway.
Yes.
So is that one of the reasons why you chose the show? Because Michelle had done it?
I've been there for 26 years at Carn City, and I always try to do a new show. I've only ever done two repeats. I've done 28 shows in 26 years, and I've repeated only two shows. I did Oklahoma twice, and I've done Sound of Music twice. Mm-hmm. But I'm always looking for something that we haven't done and something that would fit the voices and the people that we have. And I'll be honest with you, Crazy for You always seemed kind of out of our limitations at Carn City, because there's an awful lot of tap dancing, and we're not really like a dance school area up there. So I didn't really think that I could ever do it because of the tap dancing involved. But this year I just had a feeling, and I knew that there were several girls that were taking tap, that I thought if we were ever going to do it, this would be the year to do it. And it's turned out to be a really good choice.
Hmm. Well, let me talk to our students here. Hannah Bossinger, when does Crazy for You go up at Carn City?
Crazy for You opens on March 7th. It is open from March 7th to March 9th. Tickets are $9 presale, $10 at the door. Thursday, there's a performance at 7:30, as well as Friday. And then Saturday, there's a matinee at 2 p.m. and then an evening show at 7:30.
So that's next week. You open a week from tonight.
Yes.
Thursday. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you're doing shows right through the weekend?
Yes. We have a dress rehearsal all day Saturday. And then starting Monday, we will have evening rehearsals until the show opens. So,
mm-hmm. Good. What part do you play, Hannah?
I play the part of Miss Polly Baker. She is the only woman in Dead Rock, Nevada. So she is very much liked by all the men in Dead Rock, Nevada.
I can imagine.
Yes. But she does not like any of those men, and she is waiting for the man of her dreams, who just happens to roll along from New York City.
To Nevada?
Yes, he does.
And, Braden, who would that man be who rolls in at the nick of time?
Well, that man would happen to be me. Bobby Child, a starstruck banker from New York who does not wish to work in a bank, but instead wants to dance and work on Broadway. And it's always been his dream, with little success. But on his little escapade that he takes to Nevada, he meets the wonderful Miss Polly Baker and falls head over heels for her.
Well, how the hell does a banker from New York get to Nevada?
Oh, all part of his business. He's going there to foreclose a building which happens to be owned by Polly's father, Everett. And you can probably see that Polly does not like that idea at all.
Mm-hmm. Were you familiar with any music by George and Ira Gershwin before this show, Braden?
I do not believe so.
Had you heard of George and Ira Gershwin before this show?
Yes, I have heard of Gershwin standards, but the music does not sound familiar to me.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Hannah?
I have taken voice lessons for many, many years, so Gershwin music has always been a part of me growing up, and also my grandparents were a huge influence on me growing up, who have mm-hmm. always listened to Gershwin music. And when they found out that the show was Crazy for You, they said, well, we don't know what that show is. So I put on the original Broadway cast music, and they said, we know every song in this show. And I said, yeah, you should. This is all from your time era.
The Gershwins, they were brothers, by the way, yes. In case you're not familiar with that, songwriting team. One did the lyrics, one did the music. And even though this is a relatively new show, the songs are old.
Yes.
So it was adapted somehow. I don't remember, because I talked with Michelle Pock about this. There was a book a long time ago.
Yes.
And the songs are obviously decades old, and then it was adapted into a Broadway play.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly how it came to be.
Is there any truth to this, the story, or is it totally made up?
I think it's totally made up, but it's one of those stories where, you know, you always want what you can't have. And it kind of has that theme throughout. There's a girl that wants to marry Bobby Child when he's in New York. Her name's Irene, and she's played by Claire Bishop. But Irene wants to marry Bobby, but Bobby doesn't want to marry Irene. So there's a, you know, proof in the punch there. And then mm-hmm. the mother wants Bobby to go into the banking business, but he wants to be on Broadway. So it's, you know, she wants that, but that's not going to happen. And he falls in love with Polly, but when she finds out that he's from the bank, she doesn't want anything to do with him. And then there's like this time where Bobby's character actually dresses as another one of the characters in the show, the Zangler Follies gentleman, to try to fool Polly into falling in love with Bobby, his alter ego. And so there's kind of like this, it's very comedic. There are a lot of shows that have that same kind of plot. But when she finds him out, then she falls further away from him. And so he decides to go back to New York. And at the end, she realizes that she missed him, and there's a happy reunion. So it's kind of one of those sideways tales of you can't have what you want. And then you might realize later on that it is actually what you should have probably gone for in the first place. So.
The Zangler Follies. Yes. It brings to mind, of course, the Ziegfeld Follies.
Yes, and it's a little tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I figured that's why he started it with a Z.
Yes.
The writer of this show is Ken Ludwig.
Yes.
Who is pretty well known for some of his non-musical, his straight plays. Actually, farces is
yes.
what he's very good at.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what this is, a farce. If you come to this show, you are going to laugh. It's very witty. The script is very well done. One-liner after one-liner. It's just very comedic. And I think people won't realize that it's funny when they hear Gershwin music, because you kind of think jazz and maybe mm-hmm. a little bit more serious, but then they add in this really like witty text into the script, and it's got something for everybody. That's the other thing.
Still have tickets?
We do. We have tickets for every performance. I don't know why. Ticket sales are slow this year. I'm hoping they pick up pretty soon. But if you're out there and you're listening and you want to make that jaunt out to Shakora, it'll be well worth it. And the ticket price, like I said to them the other day, you can't even go to the Regal for less than $20, you know, by the time you pay for your ticket and whatever. So for $9, you can come to Carnes City and see a live show with a live orchestra. And, you know, it's important to keep these arts alive. These kids work really hard. You hear about all the bad things kids do. You know, as soon as somebody does something stupid at school or something bad happens in the community, it's a kid. You hear that all the time. But you don't hear about these good kids doing really good things. And here's your chance to support some of those kids. So please come to the show.
Hannah Bossinger, have you done a lot of theater?
I have been in every single show that I have been able to be in since I was in seventh grade. I did the Broadway Junior Theater camps that Mrs. Ackleson puts on all through elementary school. I did the opening for the musical Grease when we did it in 2010. I played Jan. And ever since then, I have fallen in love with the theater. I love being on the stage. I love singing. I'm not a great dancer, but I'm trying. But I love being on stage. I love working with all these people. They're like my family. So to have this opportunity to play Miss Polly Baker, it's a real gift. I'm very excited.
Well, Beth was saying that there's a lot of tap dancing in this show, which is one reason why it's a little bit difficult for our high school kids to do. And Hannah is pulling a face for me. I guess you're not real experienced in tap dancing, eh?
I did not start tap dancing until about 3 months ago. I'm learning. I'm trying. I'm giving it my very best shot. I would like to say that I'm doing okay for the amount of time that I've been given. But, yeah, learning tap has been a very interesting experience. One of my very good friends, her name's Elise Sanner, she actually plays the dance captain in the show. Her name is Patsy in the show. She has been dancing for years, and she's been teaching me a little bit of tap on the side.
Mm. What about you, Braden? Are you a tap dancer of great experience?
No.
Do you have to tap dance in the show?
Yes, several times.
And he's doing remarkably well for someone who is completely unexperienced with dance at all. He's picked it up pretty quickly.
It's kind of tough, I think, for high school guys in particular, because many times you'll have girls who have taken dance class, but not too many times guys.
Right.
I mean, at that level, at least.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're kind of starting out cold, huh?
Yes, my musical career was quite sudden. I had one prior experience in musical, and that was last year's musical of Sound of Music. I was an extra in that show, and now here I am as a lead.
So you were just a chorus member last time?
Yes, in some dancing ensembles.
Mm-hmm. I never say just a chorus member. That's a very important part of
it
the
is.
Show.
It is very important. It truly part. Is.
Yeah? Is there a chorus in this show?
There is. We have a cast of around 62.
Oh, my.
62 students.
I guess there's a chorus.
There is a chorus, yes. But the funny thing is, we have to cross-dress all the girls as guys, because when we're in Dead Rock, Nevada, the only girl can be Polly Baker. So mm-hmm. I don't really like to cross-dress the kids on stage, just because I think it's better if you have authentically the people playing the parts. But our girls are making some pretty great cowboys this year, so it's going really well. But yeah, so there's a big cast.
Well, you know, cross-dressing in theater, if you know a little bit about the history of theater, actually was rather common early on, even in Shakespeare's day.
Oh, yes.
You know, almost all of the female parts were played by guys.
I know.
They cross-dressed and raised their voice, I guess.
It's not anything bad. I mean, it's okay to do that. We never had a necessity to do it until recently. We seem to get all these girls that come out for the show and very few guys. So then you're you know, put in a pickle. So we have to make it work.
And this show, I think, has a lot of guys, aren't there?
There are principal parts. Yes, yeah. Several. That's another reason why I picked the show. I like to do shows that offer a lot of parts for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And we do have a lot of great guys this year. So we're having a great cast. And
who are some of the other principals other than obviously Hannah and Braden?
Stephen Covington plays the part of Lank, who is the saloon owner, and he's a little bit of the comic relief because he throws his little temper tantrums when he doesn't get his way. Playing opposite him is Claire Bishop as Irene, who is Bobby's fiance, but she ends up at the end with Lank. That's the part that Michelle played. Mm. And let's see, Morgan Mogis plays the part of Mr. Zangler from Zangler's Follies, and Madison Griffith plays Bobby's mother. Who else, guys? You can name some of them.
Oh, yes. There's a young British couple that eventually finds their way into the town of Nevada, Eugene and Patricia. Those are played by Anthony Grazioli and Madison Eyth, respectively.
All kind of strange people wandering into this Nevada town.
Eh? Well, they're trying to put on a show to save the theater is what they're trying to do. And so they're excited whenever the train comes into town and they think they're going to get a crowd and sell all these tickets. And the only two people that show up off the train are these two English people that we find aren't even there to see the show. They're there to write a travel guide about the American West. So it's very much cutesy humor stuff. So.
Did you have to coach these kids with a British accent?
No, they have that.
Really?
I'm telling you, just about any kid that I've ever worked with, they have no problem with that. If it was an Irish accent, we'd have a problem. And some of the kids are struggling with the Southern accent. But, you know, that's you have to work with that stuff all the time.
That's part of the fun.
Yes.
Yeah, part of the fun.
Yes.
We'll take a break. We'll talk more with our guests, with Hannah and Braden and Beth in just a moment or so. You're listening to the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. It's the last day of February, in case you haven't noticed. These kids know that March is just around the corner because they open next Thursday night with Crazy for You at Carn City. Hey, one of our sponsors is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. And they'd just like to ask you to consider as we head towards spring cleaning time, if you're cleaning out the spare bedroom or the garage or whatever and you end up with some stuff that you don't need or don't want anymore, consider donating these items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store instead of just tossing them in the trash because they go into the landfill. And we don't need any more of that than absolutely necessary. Plus, you'll be helping in a big way. First of all, there are folks who could use some of your items, whether it's furniture or knickknacks or clothing or shoes or whatever, and they'll be able to purchase it at a price they might not ordinarily be able to afford at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. And then best of all, every penny in proceeds from the operation of the store goes to help support the food bank and the client aid program that are operated by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. So think about that when you're cleaning. It won't be long before spring cleaning gets underway. If you've got a lot of stuff or big stuff, like a lot of furniture, call the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and they'll come get it in their truck. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store is located in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8, just south of Butler. And there's plenty of free parking right outside the door. They're open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. We stand the tallest when we stoop to help others. That's what they like to say at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler.
Hi, this is Howie Pentney with Pentney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pentney at Pentney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
When you want a home-cooked meal at a reasonable price, go to Michael's Restaurant. Featuring Italian and American cuisine, daily lunch and dinner specials, prime rib on Fridays and Saturdays, and homemade desserts. Open 7 days a week from 7 to 9, Michael's Restaurant on 422 near the Butler Fairgrounds.
Welcome. If you're joining us a little bit late, we have a couple of students here from Carn City High School there. Cast members of the spring musical at Carn City. And I guess we can call it the spring musical.
Sort of. We're close.
Braden Stutchel and Hannah Bossinger here, along with Beth Taylor Ackleson is the director of the musicals and has been for many, many years at Carnes City. You also teach, by the way.
Yes.
What do you teach up there?
I teach music and drama, so right up my alley.
You teach vocal music?
I do, all choral music, correct.
You were just a little girl when you started singing.
Yes, I was. I think my parents had me on stage at church when I was two.
I knew you were young. I didn't know it was quite that young.
Yes, but I did my first musical when I was seven. Hmm. That Knock, I played Gretel in The Sound of Music. So.
Did you guys know that about your teacher?
I did know that.
Did you?
As a matter of fact, last year when we did The Sound of Music, that was the first thing she said. She said, I played Gretel in The Sound of Music.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the music in this show, because obviously it's a funny show, as Beth said, but we're talking the American Songbook here.
Yes.
With George and Ira Gershwin. Do you have a song or two in particular, Hannah, that you enjoy singing, that you enjoy doing?
I would have to say one of my favorite songs that I sing in the whole show would be Someone to Watch Over Me. That is Polly Baker. Obviously, the song was not written for Polly Baker, but in the musical, Polly Baker is singing this song, kind of exteriorizing her thoughts about finding someone to love her, someone that she can be with for the rest of her life. So I would say, as far as my solos go, that's probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Company Numbers, I really enjoy I Got Rhythm. That is such a fun, upbeat number. It's the one of the last songs of Act One. And the cast is all very sad, very upset, because we haven't sold any tickets for our show. But my character, Polly, decides, so what if we didn't sell any tickets? We're still going to have a good time. We still care about each other. And we still want to make the most of what we've had.
And we've got rhythm.
Mm-hmm. We do have rhythm.
Indeed.
That's a tune, actually, that was adapted. I'll show you how old it is. That was adapted into a pop song.
Yes.
Back in the 60s, I think, by The Happenings.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We should mention, while we're talking about the production numbers, that Whitney Angeloni is our choreographer, and she has done an amazing job with the choreography for this show.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Mrs. Carey, who has taught us all this music.
I was just going to ask about your musical director.
Yes, Mrs. Carey is our music director, and she works at our elementary schools out at Carnes City, and she has dedicated so much of her time on top of working at school every day to teach us all this music, because there is quite a bit of music in this show. And she just makes it so much fun, and so does Whitney. It's just always a great time.
Do you use student musicians for your orchestra?
We do, but they're not high school students. We use students from Slippery Rock University, mm-hmm, for our orchestra, because we found that since we are such a small school, that the kids that would want to play in the orchestra pit also want to be on stage. So we want them to have the opportunity to be in the show instead of playing in the pit. So we hire our pit from SRU.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gives them a chance, too.
Absolutely.
Students at Slippery Rock.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me talk about the music here with Braden. Do you have any particular song or two that you really enjoy singing?
Yes, I do. Not a solo, in fact, but a duet. In the second act of the show, the song that I like is What Causes That? During this point in the musical, Bobby, even as disguising himself as Mr. Bella Zangler, has found that Polly still does not seem to like him very much. So he has gone into a state of despair, and who happens to show up in town but the real Mr. Zangler himself. So he is also having some women troubles, in fact, with one of his instructors for his musicals, Tessie. And the song What Causes That is a little bit of a display of how both men seem to have no luck, and wondering how they will go on, whatever shall they do, wherever shall they go, without a woman in the world.
Dressed exactly alike, looking exactly alike,
mirroring each other.
It's really fun.
Did you say, Braden, that you've not done any musicals before this?
Oh, I have done a musical, just I have not had a lead role.
Oh, okay, not a big part.
One before this. Oh, a part, but not a lead, I should say, in The Sound of Music, which was last year's musical. I was in the waltz ensemble on stage, and I also took part in the chorus of some other dance numbers.
And you're a sophomore, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pretty, we got a couple more years. Yeah,
pretty big shoes for a sophomore.
That's right.
A big part like
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. And he's doing a great job. I know he was hesitant at the beginning of this. He didn't know if he was going to be able to do it because he hadn't done it before. Mm-hmm. But he is doing a brilliant job with the part.
About you, Hannah? You're a senior, right?
I am a senior this year, yes.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do next year? Do you have any idea where you're going to be at this time next year?
My future plans, this is actually very recent news. I just got accepted. I have been accepted to Westminster College for the class of 2023, and I will study music education for 4 years.
Excellent. Westminster is well known for its music program.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. A member of my family who is a fabulous organist and director of a choir at a huge church in New York City went there.
Mm-hmm.
Westminster.
It's a great school.
So you've toured it. You know the place.
I have. Well, as my high school career has grown and gone on, I started in ninth grade. They offer, up at Westminster College, it's called Honors Choir. And what you do is they give you 2 sheets of music, and you have to learn them through thick and thin. You have to learn it front and back, sideways. And you go up, and you audition, anonymously, so they don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But when you audition, there's about 60 other people there who are also auditioning. And I have done that every single year since I've been able to, so my 9th through 12th grade years. And I have gotten into Honors Choir every single year. They only accept the top 12. So coming from 60 girls, I'm a soprano one by nature. So competing with 60 other girls up there and getting one of the top 12 chairs, that's quite an honor. And actually this year I had the privilege of receiving first chair, so that was very exciting. And I moved on to districts. That was just in February, actually the first week of February, and I moved on from districts to now regionals, which is at Greater Latrobe High School in March. So this will be my 9th choir festival.
We're going to have a busy spring coming up here.
Very busy spring.
Once Crazy for You is over at Carnes City. Right. By the way, some of the other great tunes in this show, and folks, if you're a fan of Gershwin music, I happen to love Gershwin. It's
me
like
too.
The Great American Songbook. Someone to Watch Over Me, as Hannah mentioned, is one of the songs in this show. Embraceable You, I Got Rhythm. They Can't Take That Away From Me. It's one of my real favorites. Yeah, all these songs are in this show, and a lot more, too. They're actually, many of them were from earlier Gershwin musicals that were incorporated into Crazy for You. Well, it goes up a week from tonight, next Thursday at Carnes City.
Yes.
Beth, once again, what are the days and the times of performances?
March 7, 8, and 9 at 7:30 in the evening. March 9th at 2 o'clock p.m. for a matinee. And there are tickets for all shows available, $9 presale, $10 at the door. Please come see us.
Can you get tickets at the high school office or somewhere?
Yes. If they call into the high school office, they can instruct them how to get the tickets. Absolutely. 724-756-2030.
Well, good luck to you. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you very much, but I hope I don't actually break a leg.
I hope you don't either. Nice to meet the two of you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us on the air.
Hannah Bossinger and Braden Stuchel with us, and Beth, always good to see you as well.
Great to see you too.
Yeah. Alrighty, we'll take a break. We're going to be talking about some Slip Rock University students who recently, a few weeks ago actually, returned from a trip to Peru. We'll find out what that was all about in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to It's Your Turn on a Thursday, and we'll be right back.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Enjoy the Butler County Symphony Orchestra and cinema this Saturday night as the symphony presents Safety Last. The orchestra will be performing music to accompany the 1923 silent film Safety Last. Harold Lloyd's iconic movie follows the adventures of a country boy trying to find success in the big city. Tickets are $25. They can be purchased at the symphony office on the Diamond downtown Butler or online at butlersymphony.org. It's Safety Last this Saturday night, 7:30, Butler Intermediate High School Auditorium.
I'm Dr. Robert Waltrip, a shoulder specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. New technology has revolutionized shoulder replacement surgery and allows precise placement of components to optimize patient outcomes. I was one of the first surgeons in the region to incorporate innovative three-dimensional computer planning software in shoulder replacement surgery. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, please visit tririversmsk.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Governor Wolf has delivered his budget address, outlining his wish list for the upcoming budget year. Education spending is once again in the spotlight, as well as an increased minimum wage. A revised plan to impose a fee on municipalities who rely on the state police is also getting a lot of attention. Turn to PA Post for unbiased analysis of the governor's plan and follow along with us as negotiations move forward. Trusted reporting about all things Pennsylvania, including the state budget, is online at papost.org.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program here on a sunny, at last, Thursday, although if you haven't been outside yet, it's a fooler of a day. It's pretty doggone cold out there, even though we have a lot of sunshine. And it's not expected to warm up too much either this afternoon. Well, we have the pleasure of chatting with several students from Slippery Rock University who recently took a little trip. I guess they were in Peru, for goodness sakes. We'll find out what that's all about after we meet them. And we say hello to David Kalin. David, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yeah, this
also, is good. Also with us is Alyssa Diamond. Alyssa, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Natalie Gates as well. Natalie, good to see you.
Hi, good to see you too.
So, David, Peru, what were you doing in Peru, for goodness sakes?
Yeah, so we are a chapter at Slippery Rock, and we were established in April of this year, actually. And we stand for medicine, education, and development for low-income families everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we try and empower the poor in their fight for equal access to medicine, education, and a safe home. So basically, we try and just empower them and try and have a world free from the constraints of poverty.
Are you all anticipating a career in medicine, Alyssa?
Yes, I am actually pre-PA right now. I'm an exercise science student, but I do plan on applying to PA school this spring.
To PA school, that would be physician's assistant,
yes, physician's
is that right?
Assistant school.
Okay. I'm not up to date on all of the shorthand, so I just wanted to make sure I knew. What about you, Natalie?
I'm the same. I'm exercise science, pre-PA as well. I have a whole other year, so I won't be applying like she is next
year.
So
you're a junior?
Yes, but I'm technically a year behind because I transferred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to apply for additional schooling if you want to become a physician's assistant.
Yes.
Is that available at Slippery Rock, or we have to go to another institution?
Yes, Slippery Rock is. It's a newer PA program, but that is where I'm planning on applying.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, David?
Yeah, that's the same for me, actually. I'll apply in the spring, just like Alyssa.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, we'll both start May 2021. So it takes a year for the cycle, the application cycle, to end.
So how many Slippery Rock students went to Peru?
It was about 20, right?
Yeah, it was 18 students and then one faculty advisor. And she was the director of the Physician's Assistant Program.
Mm-hmm. So. And this was fairly recent, right, Alyssa?
Yes, we just went at the beginning of January, right before we started back to school. We went for about 7 days.
So you gave up part of your holiday break to go
yes,
to Peru?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah. And there were students from Harvard that went with you, is that right?
That's right. There was 57 total of us from the two universities.
Hmm. So does Harvard have a chapter of this organization as well? Or
they do. They're new like us, but I think this was their first service. It's called service learning trips that we go on, and I think this was their first one. This will be the university's third time and second time through our chapter.
Did you fly down together, or did you meet those people once you got down there?
We all actually flew out from our hometowns because we were on winter break, so we all flew out from wherever. I flew out of Pittsburgh. He flew out of New York, so we all flew out of different places and then just met down in Peru.
Can you fly directly to Peru from here?
You cannot. In Pittsburgh, I know that they have to take a connecting flight, but for me, in JFK, I flew directly into Lima, Peru, the capital. And then from Lima, we met everyone in Lima, and then we all went to Cusco.
So that's where this event took place, in Cusco.
Yes.
Where's Cusco? Is that on the coast, or?
Cusco is in the mountains, actually. It's about 15,000 feet above sea level.
Oh, wow.
Give or take.
I guess it's not on the coast if it's that high.
No, definitely not. No. Lima, the capital, is on the coast, but it takes about 2 hours by flight from Lima to Cusco, and that's right by Machu Picchu, one of the wonders of the world.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. So, Alyssa, what did you do down there when you spent this a week or so in Peru?
We spent the first 3 days actually going to they're called medical mobile clinics. So you actually assist doctors. You work with them. You can work with OBGYNs, dentists, or just regular doctors, and you just assist them and help them in any way you can. And then on our last day, we went into a village, and you either were painting in a house, or you were making a corn dryer for them, which is really important because corn is like one of their main sources of money there. And having the corn inside their houses was making it very unsanitary and unhealthy, so we were creating corn dryers outside their house.
Corn
dryers?
Dryers.
It's something you wouldn't see around here, but it's just like a fence with wood a little off the ground, and then it just keeps the corn in there to keep it dry outside.
And if they don't have these, they put the corn right in their house?
Yeah, they would keep it in their house, but it creates like a really unsanitary because it can bring in a lot of animals and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Bugs and everything else, I guess. Huh? Yeah. Now, when you were working in the first part of your trip down there, this was with physicians in Peru?
Yes, they were local doctors.
I see. So there weren't any actual physicians that traveled down with you?
No.
Did you have any instructors that went with you, David?
So MedLife is operating in Peru, so their database is in Lima, and they will actually have each clinic site, and there's 4 or 5 clinic sites that we can go to, and they will bring people, or kind of they're called group leaders, to lead these students. And they'll be with us during the mobile clinics and during all the activities that we do. And they also speak Spanish, so they're able to translate for us, for those who don't understand what they're trying to say.
I'm not familiar with the MedLife. Does anybody know anything about the organization generally? Obviously, you have a chapter of it.
I am the president and the founder. So we're kind of like the branch organization of this international organization that is still based out in Lima, Peru. And they were established in 2001. By a man named Nick Ellis, and he was a med student who traveled down to Peru, and he was on a medical mission trip, and he noticed that people needed more medical or more access to healthcare and medication. So he ended up creating this organization to create sustainable changes and bring back students each year and have local doctors who understand endemic diseases to treat these people and hopefully resolve the issue of lack of access to health care.
Alyssa Diamond, one of the students who went to Peru. Have you been to South America before, Alyssa? You've traveled down there frequently?
No, I've actually never been down to South America.
I was joking.
Before.
I can't imagine too many people who have been there on a regular basis, you know?
I have been on 3 previous mission trips, but I was only ever down in the Bahamas. So this one was like really pushed me out of my comfort zone because I don't speak fluent Spanish, obviously. And that was definitely a barrier for me, but it was really eye-opening and amazing experience.
Now, what about you, Natalie? Have you ever traveled to South America before?
No, this is actually my very first time outside of the country.
Now, this would have been January.
Yeah.
So, what was the weather like in Peru at that time of year? It was about a month ago.
It was kind of like, it was more like spring into summer weather for us there. It was definitely nice. It was sunny a lot. What was the like temperature? It was like between 70s.
60s.
Yeah.
60s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Peru's not tropical, but on the other hand, it's not that far below the equator either. Ecuador, the equator runs right through Ecuador. So I guess that it probably doesn't really get, unless you're up in the high mountains, it probably doesn't get that cold there.
No, it's, since the seasons are kind of switched with us, so our summer is their winter, and the seasons were changing at that time since it was around the 21st. But it usually stays a consistent 50 to 60, but you'll notice that when we're walking out in T-shirts and shorts, they're wearing their winter coats and their pants and their scarves. So it's just interesting to see how the temperature change and what we're used to.
David Kalin, have you been on any of these trips before?
I have. I've been on two previous, so I've been on three service learning trips. That's what they're called, through MedLife.
To different destinations?
Yeah, or? I went to Riobamba, Ecuador, and then I went to Lima, Peru.
Okay. So generally in South America is what we're talking about.
We're usually based out in South America, but we're trying to branch out to India. We have one site in Kilimanjaro, Africa. There's also the Riobamba, Ecuador. There's a Nicaraguan site, Lima, Cusco, Peru, and there's a few that are closed down because of domestic issues in the community, but those are the running ones right now.
So how would you describe the MedLife organization? I mean, it seems like it's almost partly an extracurricular thing, training for a future career, partly philanthropic, helping people in parts of the world where they are more needy. I guess it's kind of a combination of the three. Huh?
Yeah, so we try and work both locally and internationally, since a lot of the students, we have about 250 registered as part of our chapter. And for those people, because there's only about probably 20 to 30 students who can go on these international service learning trips.
Mm-hmm.
So we try and provide local volunteering and fundraising in both Butler and Slippery Rock. And we try and just bring and empower the poor, both in Butler and internationally.
We're going on a trip to Ohio in April, isn't it?
And beginning of April, we're going on it's called Remote Area Medical. And they do pop-up medical clinics domestically in the nation. And it's pretty much what MedLife does, but we will be working with people in, obviously, we're going to Ohio. So.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We'll be back and talk more with these students. All students at Slippery Rock University and all who recently, just last month, were in Peru on a MedLife medical mission along with some of their counterparts from Harvard University. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. We will be back right after this.
One of the best hangouts back in the day was Natilli's, especially when the Vince Tavolario Trio played at their St. Patrick's Day celebration. Dig out the Kiss Me I'm Irish button and relive those times during A Night with Vince. Saturday, March 9th at Tanglewood, your hometown center for entertainment. Doors open at 6 p.m. Station buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. As always, it's BYOB. Tickets are only $25. Call 287-0021. For a night of St. Patrick's Day nostalgia, it's A Night with Vince.
This month at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, get your seeds started with Espoma Organic Potting Soil, germination kits, heat mats, earth boxes, and walk-in greenhouses. Take care of your animals with squirrel-proof bird feeders, bird food, Zach and Zoe dog coats, dog beds, heated thermo cat houses, and heated waterers. Feed the deer with Imperial Whitetail 30-06, Trophy Rocks, Osterling's Deer Feed and Corn. And stop in for maple tree tapping supplies like buckets, spiles, drill bits, and guide books. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Pittsburgh commuters, are you tired of sitting in traffic while wasting all of your money on parking fees, wear and tear on your vehicle, and gas? Butler Transit is a commuter's choice from Butler County to Pittsburgh. BTA's chartered buses offer free park and ride locations, onboard Wi-Fi, and charging stations, and real-time bus location technology. Stop worrying about traffic, detours, and downtown parking. Catch a bus at a location near you. Visit butlertransit.com for daily schedules, mobile ticketing, and a stress-free commute.
Welcome back, good friends. It's the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. We're chatting with three Slippery Rock University students. Natalie Gates is with us, Alyssa Diamond, and David Kalin. You are all juniors, right?
Yes.
Slippery Rock University. So is this program, you just have one more year to go at Slippery Rock?
That's right. We should all hopefully have one last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to become a physician's assistant, how much more education and training is needed after that?
Mm-hmm. For Slippery Rock's program, it's about 24 months, but programs in the nation range from 24 to about 35 months.
I see. So it could be longer, huh? Well, you know, we should talk a little bit about physician's assistant, or PA, as the shorthand goes. From what I read, and it's only, I know only from what I read, when we're looking at the future of the delivery of health care here in the United States, we're going to be relying more and more on physician's assistants as opposed to MDs in future years. You would agree, Alyssa?
Yes, I agree. Physician's assistant is a really growing field right now, and you have a lot of variability with physician's assistant, as in, like, if you're a doctor, you have to specialize something, and that's the only thing you can do. Where with PA, you can go into school for something, and if you're working in pediatrics, you could change your mind, and you could go into surgery with just a little bit of, like, practice in that field.
Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to specialize in that when you're in school.
That's correct, yeah.
You could adjust later. What's the job market like for PAs, for a physician's assistant? Pretty good, I would imagine, huh?
Very good, actually. Since it's, like Alyssa said, a growing field, most hospitals are still and will always be looking for PAs to work under doctors. So we pretty much will assist the doctor, and we'll get all approvals through this doctor, and we'll work under his name, and we'll pretty much do all the paperwork and any assistant medical visits or observations that he needs us to do.
Natalie, did you dream about this as a career long ago, or are there doctors in your family? How did you decide that this is what you wanted to study?
Yeah, I always knew that I wanted to be in the medical field. Actually, my uncle is a doctor for family practice, and my dad is a physician assistant at mm-hmm. Butler Hospital, actually. So they really helped me, especially my dad, trying to decide to, like, become a PA versus, like, any other, like, either doctor or nurse. It's definitely something that I want to do.
I would imagine that it's can be a very satisfying career if mm-hmm. if you're, like, making a mark. My goodness, you're saving people's lives in many cases, you know. Yeah. Are you from this area originally? You must be if your father.
Yeah.
I
actually live in Gibsonia,
mm-hmm.
so I grew up there, still live there.
Where would you have gone to high school? Pine Richland?
Yes, I went mm-hmm. to Pine Richland.
They just lost last night to Butler, you know,
oh,
in basketball.
Yeah. Oh, no.
A barn burner.
I'm sure. Yeah.
70-68, two-point game.
Oh, gosh.
What about you, Alyssa? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Johnstown, PA.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Richland High School, and I still live there, so... It's about 2 hours away from here.
And how did you end up at Slippery Rock?
Honestly, I didn't want to come here. And then I ended up visiting the school, and I fell in love with the area and the town and everything. So,
It's a big school. When we were talking about the 14 schools in the PASHE system, the state system, and it's been growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly one of the stronger schools in the system as well. And David, you're not from this area originally.
I'm not. I'm from Long Island, New York, just about 7 hours away from Slippery Rock.
Mm.
And I was drawn here for originally their physical therapy program. And ironically, like Alyssa, I didn't want to apply here, but my mom made me. And once I ended up getting in, I changed to physician's assistant. And because I was able to get a bunch of scholarships, and when I started, I loved the school, I ended up just sticking with it. And yeah, here we are.
Physical therapy is a big program at Slippery Rock as well. Yeah, are there a lot of students in the PA program, the physical assistance program?
Physicians assistants. There are about 40 students per year, and I think there's two classes for each year.
Pretty rigorous curriculum, I would think, Alyssa.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So you have to be pretty smart and pretty diligent to make it through. Yeah. Yeah.
Always.
no messing around like some college students do, let's face it. Yeah. Got to stick with it. Well, listen, I want to talk a little bit about South America and about Peru. Any impressions there? Were you struck in particular by the poverty or by the big city or what?
Like I said, I have gone on mission trips before, so like I've seen poverty before. So for me, it was kind of an eye-opening experience to see a different type of poverty than what I did see when I was in Nassau, Bahamas. And also the culture change for me, because I've never been somewhere where the main language is Spanish and not English. So that was definitely a big eye-opener and barrier for me at first. But it is beautiful there. Like everywhere you look, the mountains are gorgeous. It's green. It's completely different than being here.
I've never been to Peru. In fact, I've never been anywhere in South America. But from what I understand, in many of these countries, there's a stark difference from being in center city and some of the really big cities, and then in some of the small villages, you know, out in the countryside. It's like two different places, you know, two different cultures.
Oh,
even.
Yeah. So when I went to Lima, Peru, in August of 2018, that was another service learning trip. It was funny because when we would travel to these clinics or these communities, when we would leave the city, there was like a direct line you could see from in the city to out of the city. People who lived out of the city had nothing. They lived on landfills, and they were not supported by the government, and they basically just got – they wanted to be closer to the city so they would have access to healthcare and sanitary facilities and water. And similarly to that, in Cusco, people in these communities located outside of the city were so far away and they lacked so many resources that it was hard for them to survive and get clean water. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had to use farming techniques to survive. A lot of them didn't go to school because it was just too far away. And basically MedLife, we try and bring this healthcare access to them when they're not able to, because they also don't have cars. They can't afford it.
That's what I've read, but I've never talked to anybody who actually you know, saw it firsthand. Were you dealing with any, Natalie, with any specific physical problems? Are there particular diseases that are widespread there, or more particular conditions, you know, like, I don't know, cardiovascular disease or something like that?
I noticed when working with the doctors in the medical clinics that there were a lot of diseases in children from drinking the water and like playing outside and stuff like that. Sometimes it was kind of hard listening because they just spoke Spanish and you couldn't really understand everything that they were saying, but you found that they were like touching their stomachs a lot, and a lot of the children's stomachs were very swollen, so they usually had a parasite. With the older people, it was more just like cardiovascular and more just like, you know, because they're living in such poverty, like they have to do a lot of manual labor still, even at a very old age. So it was more of like muscle weakness and bone deterioration, stuff like that.
And I would imagine simply from the nature of their existence, their socioeconomic status, perhaps as they got on in life, vision problems or dental problems because they wouldn't have access to, you know, getting their eyes checked once a year or something like that,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Dental problems are a major issue, especially in children. We did like a toothbrushing station with the kids where we would just show them how to brush their teeth and provide them with a toothbrush. And just when the children would open their mouth, like their teeth would be like decayed or falling out. And it was just, it's awful to see because they can't get the care that they need to take care of their teeth, and they don't brush their teeth on a regular. So it's really sad.
Sometimes they don't have clean water to do it with.
That's right,
either. Yeah, the things that we just take absolutely for granted.
There could be one community sink for the entire community of about 1,000 people.
Wow. Where did you stay, Natalie, when you were down there for a week?
We stayed in a hostel. It was very nice. It was in the city of Cusco, So we had like a shower and a bathroom. And
was this a youth hostel or just a regular hostel?
Just a regular hostel. Mm-hmm. Since we were located in the nicer area of Cusco, we were able to get all the facilities that we needed. And because MedLife was able to work with the hotels and, or I'm sorry, the hostels, we could get everything that we wanted and needed for the week.
Lima is the capital of Peru,
yes,
I remember from my junior high school geography class. But Cusco is a pretty big city too, right?
Yeah, it is a big city, but it's isolated. Mm-hmm. Only way to get there, it's surrounded by mountains. So you have to take a small airport from Lima to Cusco.
Could you see the Andes when you were flying in?
Yeah, right outside, pretty much right outside of Lima. Once you leave the coast, you can just pretty much fly over the Andes. It was, mm-hmm. it was really cool.
It's like flying over the Alps. You look down there, not very far down there because they're so high. Did you get a chance? I mean, you were only there for a little over a week. Did you get a chance to do any, you know, just sightseeing? Did you have a day or an afternoon or something where you could do that, Natalie?
Yeah, the first day that we were there, we actually got a reality tour. And we got to get a tour both in the city and up on the high mountains, which is where, like, the low-income families live.
Mm-hmm.
We also went to Machu Picchu one of the last days.
I was going to ask if you got were able to go there.
Yes, it was beautiful.
See, I've read that it's getting more and more restricted because so many people want to go there that they don't want it to be overrun mm-hmm. with the tourists, and they don't want it to be destroyed either. Because some people, you know, they can't leave it alone. They've got to touch. They've got to dig, you know.
It's definitely crazy. There was so many people whenever we were there, like, you're just in a tight group. Eventually, like, once you get up and start walking through Machu Picchu itself, it cools down a little. But, like, at the beginning, you're just in, like, a tight group, and it's insane.
Machu Picchu, for listeners who aren't familiar with it, it's an ancient, it's an Incan, right?
Yep,
village, yeah?
Yeah.
Which is thousands of years old, and it's on a mountaintop, a remote mountaintop. And when you see pictures of it, you can't imagine how they could have built this, you know, given the primitive tools and so on. I mean, it would be a job to build it today, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, that must have been a thrill to be. That would be the highlight of going to Peru, to be able to go to Machu Picchu.
It was
beautiful.
Yeah.
So for every MedLife trip on the Saturday before you leave, you're able to do an excursion.
Mm-hmm.
And for our excursion, it was going to Machu Picchu. And we took about probably most of the students who went. They were interested in going. And
how far is it from Cusco?
From Cusco, it's a bus ride, then a train ride, and then a bus ride up the mountain. So we got up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And we started our trip into Machu Picchu at
six or seven
in the morning.
Somewhere. Wow.
So it took a few hours. It was very isolated, so that train ride was definitely necessary through the mountains.
Was it colder when you get that high up in the mountains?
It was really warm the day we were there, but the air is a little bit cooler up there.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, what an interesting trip. And what great experience for you, you know, for your future careers. Yeah.
That's right.
Did you make any friends with the Harvard students who were there? Did you mingle at all, or were you too busy?
We didn't really get a chance to talk to them very much because on the actual like medical clinic days, we were separated from them.
I see.
Yeah, so the only time we were really able to chat with them was whenever we were back at the hostel having dinner or having our group meetings every day.
Do the physicians there that you were working with, did they have the necessary medical tools and drugs and so on that we have here? Or would you say that, shaking his head.
No. I was told that in Cusco specifically that their medical equipment is just like our medical equipment was in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
So it's very behind.
Wow.
And they rely on students and people who sponsor them to provide these medications and the medical supplies. So we actually were able to bring down medication, and we did a fundraiser, and we must have rose about $200 And we just brought down some multivitamins and things that they asked for.
Excellent. Now, you're all juniors, right?
Yes.
Will you go on another one of these medical mission trips next year? Or will you be too busy trying to complete all your credits for graduation?
I know he will, but I know for me personally, I just don't have the time to do it or the money to do it again, but it was definitely like an amazing experience.
I can understand. Either one of those would be a limiting factor.
Yeah.
Yes.
After all, you don't fly to Peru for $35, you know. That's pretty steep. And it's a time factor, too, for goodness sakes, you know. You're obviously in a very rigorous program, very rigorous curriculum, and it takes a lot of study, you know. Although none of you look too sleepy.
No, not yet.
Yeah. I'm good right now.
I always looked pretty sleepy when I was going to school at your age. Well, guys, thanks for stopping down. It was really nice to meet you all.
Thank you for having us.
And wonderful to learn about Slippery Rock University students doing a great thing like this, you know.
More to come. Yeah. Every winter we're going to be going on a service learning trip.
Well, I mean, good for you for your future careers, but my goodness, good for these people in Peru that you were able to help out while you were down there. Well, thank you, Natalie Gates, Alyssa Diamond, and David Kalin visiting with us today. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Nice. That wraps up our It's Your Turn program for Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your day and hope you can be with us tomorrow. We'll start off with an edition of City Hall on tomorrow's Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Sometimes in our lives, we all